Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. George Lundberg and this is At Large at Medscape. September 2017 is Be Kind to Addicts Month. How can we help? Of every 100 Americans who drink, 140 million do, about 12, 16 million are considered in need of treatment for an alcohol use disorder. And 8 will become chemically dependent on alcohol. Of that 8, 1 will become addicted very early, even after the first drunken episode. Problem is, we don't yet have a way to predict who that one will be. Prevention is always the best answer to addiction. Don't drink, or don't ignore the warning signs of becoming a problem drinker. How is your blood acetaldehyde today, or more relevant, how was it late last night? You don't know? Why am I not surprised? Most people don't even think about acetaldehyde. Ethyl alcohol is metabolized acetaldehyde by alcohol dehydrogenase in the liver. Acetaldehyde is metabolized by aldehyde dehydrogenase to acetate and then to carbon dioxide and water. Depending upon alcohol dose, some of the acetaldehyde may escape hepatic metabolism and enter the general blood circulation. Acetaldehyde is, of course, a close cousin to my old pathology lab friend, formaldehyde. We use it to pickle surgical and autopsy tissues for preservation. Both are known carcinogens. Our body's defense mechanism against excess acetaldehyde is the amino acid L-cysteine and glutathione. These molecules, similarly to thiamine, contain a sulfhydryl group that is chemically active against aldehydes. Unless you are one of those people, typically East Asian, who are genetically deficient in aldehyde dehydrogenase or are taking disulfiram, you can metabolize roughly one stiff drink per hour. Above that, depending upon body weight, gastric contents, and efficiency of your metabolic alcohol breakdown, acetaldehyde builds up because aldehyde dehydrogenase capability can be overwhelmed. Say you quit drinking at 11 p.m., and you know how much booze went down your gullet. Around about 1 a.m., your acetaldehyde level may be elevated and you may feel symptoms of acetaldehyde toxicity, including skin flushing, tachycardia, palpitation, anxiety, nausea, thirst, chest pain, and vertigo. Of course, you are trying to sleep it off, so you may not feel toxic until the next morning when that dreaded hangover might appear. Here's a tip from my friends in the nutritional supplement community. You can enhance the metabolism of blood alcohol to acetate, carbon dioxide, and water, and minimize the acetaldehyde molecular logjam by orally taking supplements. L-cysteine, vitamin C, and vitamin B1 are purported to help. At supplement doses, at worst they are cheap and harmless. At best, goodbye acetaldehyde toxicity, hello restful sleep. About 200 milligrams of L-cysteine per ounce of alcohol consumed is sufficient to block a major portion of the toxic effect of acetaldehyde. However, the rapid absorption and metabolism of alcohol suggests both prior and concurrent dosing of cysteine to maintain protection. Also, an excess of vitamin C, perhaps 600 milligrams, can help keep the cysteine in its reduced state and on the job against acetaldehyde. Experts recommend these doses with or without extra B1, one round before drinking, one with each additional drink, and one when finished. Some say that this regimen works very well. Don't ask me for a list of published randomized, double-blind clinical trials. Not yet, at least. Research funding into harm reduction from addicting substances has not enjoyed favored status in research priorities. Unfortunately, this concoction may have little effect on next-day hangovers, the causes of which are complex and resistant to prevention, except obviously by not drinking too much, which is, of course, the best answer to alcohol anyway. With drug users, be redemptive, not punitive. That's my opinion. I'm Dr. George Lundberg, and this is At Large at Medscape.